Warning, this show is not family or work safe. This show may contain strong language, nudity, and sexual content.
I guess as long as I don't get pregnant, I'm probably all right.
Well, they haven't said anything about pregnancy having to be involved at this point.
Really, I just have this ongoing fear of becoming pregnant. Well, the pregnancy really isn't the problem. The birth is what concerns me.
Okay, I got one question.
Yeah, that should be a real concern if you actually become pregnant and have to birth.
I have a question, too. What the hell is wrong with you?
With who? With me or who at 3:30?
I thought 3:30 was a dude.
I am. That's what the birth concerns me about. I'm not plumbed that way. Where the hell is it going to try to come out of?
How to get in there in the first place.
Well, TJ, when a guy and me love each other very much in the back of a 67 Chevelle...
I thought it was supposed to be a Camry.
Yeah, it's a 93 Camry.
That's only if the person's orange.
Hey, Azmath and Peter, are you sure you want to do this?
I'm pretty sure I don't.
Yeah, I can't blame you.
That's what she said.
Maybe I'll just go back on mute and lend you my moral support here.
I'm thinking I'm probably going to need some more Irish coffee before this whole thing even gets started.
So, Chaser, you've been talking about Irish coffee for, like, the last 4 hours. Now, when you say Irish coffee, do you mean coffee with some Baileys in it, or are you talking proper Irish coffee?
I'm talking real Irish coffee, dude. I get a shot of Jameson's and Irish and Bailey's in my coffee. I don't just do the weak stuff.
Okay, because you said you made a pot of it, and I'm thinking that's at least a fifth of whiskey.
Well, I don't know if it's a fifth. It's actually 3 cups per pot, and so that'd be 3 shots.
So it's not proper Irish coffee.
Well, if you're going to say that you need to have a fifth of whiskey in a pot of coffee, no, it's not proper at that point. But it's proper enough in that, you know, a shot every 12 ounces of coffee, that's, I'd say, pretty proper.
Look, if you can't light that coffee on fire, you're not doing it right.
If it won't cause you to fight a loved one in the backyard, you're not doing it right.
Alcohol in general does not make me combative, so that's actually not going to fly. And Pegwell, I probably could actually light this coffee on fire.
Sandy, your problem is that you aren't Irish.
Actually, as I am somewhere around 75 to 85% Irish.
Most people are the Irish of the Beagles of humanity. They'll screw anything.
Except you, 3:30.
Oh no, my girlfriend's Irish.
Which is why they don't have sex ever.
What the hell's going on here?
This show has went out of control even faster than an average episode of KPO.
Have we even started the show?
I don't think we can do any better than this.
I could always do my Pikey impression and talk about how much I like dogs and caravans.
Oh boy, it's going downhill somehow.
You like dogs, boy?
Sound Chaser, do you need to get a refill before we start?
I think I do. I will be right back.
He fell for it. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the pilot episode. Welcome to the pilot episode of Zombie Circus. I'm Monster B, and let's meet our round table of zombie hunters. Azmath.
Hey, howdy, howdy, howdy.
Pegwall.
Hello, hello.
Peter 64.
G'day.
3:30.
G'day.
And the Gorkon of Colonel Panic Podcast, Sound Chaser. Where did he go?
I thought you sent him to get a drink or something. Or down the shops to buy a loaf of bread, didn't you?
Yeah, that's what we used to do to Zoke, remember that?
Yeah, poor Zoke.
What should I call the game?
You got to do the game first, do you?
Shit, I lost the game.
Oh, the game. We have to do the game.
What are you going to call the game?
I was thinking about calling it Red Rum.
Or Short Straw.
Or just the game.
Or how about the Retard Bus?
The Short Bus?
That. I like that a lot.
Which one, the Short Bus or the Retard Bus?
I've returned.
Short Bus. The one Sound Chaser's on.
I am not on the Short Bus.
Yeah, they just dropped him off.
Time for the show. By the way, Sound Chaser, we already started the show. You were too late. What do you think, Peter? You like this show so far?
Yeah, it just reminds me of Lenny Kravitz. We just need the Zokes.
Yeah, where's the vote kick?
Well, here's the thing. Okay. The game is called, should I call it Short Bus to be nice, or should I call it Short Bus or Retard Bus? What?
She's not retarded. She's Asian. Had to bring that one back.
Just for you, Monster B.
Since we were talking about old Linux cranks things.
Okay, it's time to play Short Bus, the zombie circus game. Okay, the gameplay is simple. You have a choice of three categories. Inside the categories are three things, which could be like a person, place, or thing. You have to tell us which one you would marry, have a one-night stand with, or murder, and why. Now, each category is worth a point or points depending on which category you pick, and these points will be used at the vote kick. See, that's why we need to play this game, because none of us have any votes right now to cast on someone. You get it so far, Peter?
Fantastic idea.
Yep. So I can earn 3 points. That's going to give me 3 votes at the end of the week, at the end of the show.
Yeah, like say you want to throw them all at Sound Chaser or split them up. You know, say you want to throw 2 at 3:30 or 1 at Sound Chaser. You know what I mean?
Good stuff. Yep.
The only problem I see with this is we actually have to remember by the end of the show how many votes we actually have.
Well, I have a piece of paper I can write on and just write our names down and put little check marks by our names.
High tech.
Yeah, very high tech.
So give me about 3 minutes so I can write our names down.
3 minutes to write our names down?
He's got to remember how to use a pen.
That's the problem with being a geek, isn't it? You only know how to use a keyboard and not how to do the manual stuff.
I actually, at one point, had forgotten how to write. I had to write a deposition, and I'm holding a pen, looking at the paper, and thinking, I wonder how this works. The sad part is it took me 45 seconds to figure it out.
Okay, you guys ready?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Yep, same here.
Okay, category 1, Linux distros. See, that's not too bad, is it? Category number 2, random people on this show. And category 3, podcasters. Now, number 3, I did have, I cleaned it up a little bit. It was things you stick in your butt.
Podcasters?
Yeah. So I changed it. Okay, let's just go down the list here. Azimuth, which category would you like?
Give me distros.
All right. Arch Linux, Fedora, and Slackware. And why?
Well, I kill Fedora just on general principles. And I might take a one-night stand with Slackware. And I might marry Arch.
Why would you marry Arch?
Well, because you always have something to do with Arch. It's broke all the time.
But it would take a long time to build that relationship up from the ground up.
Well, I've been dating Arch for a long time anyway.
Alrighty. Azimuth has 1 point. Let's go on to Peggy. What do you choose?
I'll be adventurous here and go with podcasters.
All right. This is going to be the rough one. This is a 3-pointer. Door-to-Door Geek from Linux Basics. Fab from Linux Outlaws. Brian Loonduke from the Linux Action Show.
Well... Oh.
This is almost no brainer.
Can kill them all?
Yeah. Nah, well, I would have thought it was like you'd have the one night stand. It's got to be door to door. You found a good looking one out of the 3 of them. And then, but you can't shoot the other 2. So you're stuck, Peggy. I don't know what you're going to do.
Oh, no. I figured you put up with the one night stand with Fab. You marry Door and you murder Brian.
You're kidding.
I was going to say that, but thank you, Sound Chaser, for stealing my answers. Can I have a new category?
Are you sure? This is a 3-pointer.
You know what? I'll just take those answers. Screw it.
Well, and that should get everybody else 3 points so that we can vote Peggy off after a while.
Look, I'm the one that had
3 free points.
I'm the one that had to marry a dude, then have a one-night stand with another dude, then kill another dude. Do you know how much work that is?
It's a regular Thursday night for you, isn't it?
What was your answer again, Peggy?
I guess I'd have to marry Door-to-Door Geek, have a one-night stand with Fab, but I wouldn't call him again because that'd just be weird. And I'd probably have to murder Brian.
Poor Brian.
I with think he got out of it the easiest, to be honest with you.
All right, Peter, what category are you going to pick?
I'll take that. Whatever was left. What was it? I can't remember.
You can pick another one. The one that nobody picked yet is random people on this show.
Okay, good. Yeah, I don't think I really want to take that. Give me podcasters again.
Yeah, go ahead. It's just the same ones. I didn't think of different ones each time.
Okay, we'll edit that bit out. Give us random people on this show for $50.
Okay, let me pick three random people here. Sound Chaser, 330, and Monster B. I don't know why my name's in there, but it's in there.
Well, big boy, you know that me and you've got to have the one night stand. That's a given, right? Then you've got who was it? Soundy and 330. Yep. Oh, jeez. I'm going to shoot 330. Oh. Just because that would be fun.
Sound, you're going to marry look, me, Peter.
Looks wow. like it's me and you get married, buddy.
Oh, this is so fucking gay. This is so gay.
This is the best game ever.
All right, Peter, you got 2 points.
All right, Monster B, I'll step up here, and I'm going to take distros again.
All right, give it to us.
Okay, I would murder Fedora, I would marry Slack, and whatever the third one, Arch, I would have a one-night stand with. The reasoning being that I would go with Slackware for the marriage because it's been around the longest, it's the most stable, so it'd probably make the most stable relationship. I would have the one-night fling with Arch because, hey, it's experimental and it's something that you can actually play with. And I have to murder Fedora because of all the weird changes and stuff that's going on in that area.
You made a lot of sense, Sandy. That's no fun.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that weird?
Good answer. All right, 330, give it to us. What category?
All righty. Well, I'm going to have to take distros to, you know, to kind of not let Fedora be murdered by swine. I would marry Fedora because I don't own a single computer that doesn't have Fedora on it, and it is fantastic, and I love it. I would kill Arch because the only people that use it are hipsters.
You monster!
And I would have a one-night stand with Slackware. It's been around. It some tricks. Could probably do some things that you wouldn't want to talk about later, but, you know, would be an experience to have. So, yeah, I would marry Fedora. I would have a one-night stand with Slackware, and I would kill the hipster distro.
Well, Slackware is kind of a slut these days.
All right. You want to pick a category for me, buddy?
Okay. I'm going podcasters. And do you want me to give you three names?
Okay.
Okay, ready? I'm going Double and Dan, of course, from the Linux League Tech Show. I'm going to go Russ Werner. What's that, the techie geek, isn't it? And let me think of a good one. I'm going to have to say Gorkon. Yeah, definitely Gorkon.
Oh, wow. Well, one of them's easy.
Yeah,
Gorkon, automatically, he's gone. Slaughtered. Man, between Russ and Dan, that's a hard decision. I know Russ, his soothing voice would put me to sleep every night.
Yeah, but you know Dan's more experienced in crazy things.
But let's make this hard. The morning after the one-night stand, you have to kiss him goodbye, too.
Okay, this is getting bad. Whoa. Okay, I'm just going to do it quickly to get it over with. I'm going to say one-night stand with Dan and marry Russ. And trying to think of a reason why, I can't think of one.
I can tell you why. It'd be easier to kiss Dan goodbye than to have to think about the next night.
That and Russ doesn't have those freaky hobo feet.
All right, I'm glad that's over with. Let's get on with our topics. You got anything for us, Azimuth?
Nah, I'm just here for moral support.
All right, how about Pegwall?
I have two things, actually.
We'll get to them, Spanky.
Oh, I thought you were just wondering how many topics I had.
What the heck? Well, the first one is, okay, what would you guys do if you bought a Motorola Zoom and found someone else's personal information on it?
WikiLeaks.
Well, that depends what information it had on it. Like, I'd probably just reset the phone. Who cares? But why? What are you getting at?
Some people that bought Motorola Zooms on Woot.com, out of, like, the roughly 5,000 that were sold, 100 of them still had everyone's, like, social networking information, email addresses, everything.
But and how many computers get purchased, you know, with everyone's personal information on it? I take it word is secondhand stuff, is it? This, you're not talking about brand new stuff, are you?
No, they were refurbished, but, and also to answer your question, if you've ever bought a used computer, say, at a pawn shop, it most likely has the previous owner's personal information on it still.
Yeah, that's right. So, really, I would imagine buying a secondhand phone, and I've actually purchased two in my life. Yeah, there's heaps of information on them. I mean, most people don't know how to do the factory reset.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is here is that these were supposed to be refurbished, so you would think that someone at Motorola would have gone ahead and made sure these things were wiped before they were sent out. I mean, these are the guys who actually put this machine, you know, these tablets together.
Yeah, I don't know, Sandy, how it all works, but I thought refurbished went off to a second-tier company. Like, say if you took Motorola back to Motorola, they just get boxes of them and then hand them over to someone who bid to buy, take 1,000 of them so they could do them up and send them out to be, you know, as refurbished. I'm not sure how that actually works.
Yeah, that is actually a good point, because actually one of my laptops, I think it was an HP laptop, was actually refurbished by IBM, because it was actually like an off-contract machine that IBM had leased out. Peggy, does the article actually say anything about who actually did the refurbishing on these?
No, it doesn't say who. It just says that they may not have been properly reformatted. And also, looking at it again, they were sold between October and December of 2011. 100 out of the 6,200 that they actually sold weren't wiped out properly.
Well, I must admit that had you asked me out of 6,000 refurbished units, I would have thought it would have been a hell of a lot higher than 100 that weren't, you know, set back to factory defaults.
Wait a second, Peggy, didn't you say it was 1,000 units?
No, it was 100 of them.
Oh, that's lower than I would have thought. Yeah, I would have thought like 600 of them or something.
I would just be worried that someone had put, let's say, child photography on something like that, and then it gets shipped to you, you don't notice it. Yeah, for some reason, you know, people in suits take notice of you, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in prison for some crap you didn't even do.
I don't know, Peggy. I mean, 330. I would think that if you're into more extreme things, that you're probably actually a lot more paranoid about other people finding out about it. You might actually take the time to actually figure out how to actually wipe the device before you actually returned it at that point.
Yeah, I'd be really embarrassed if people found the pictures of me in the horse mask. I mean, what?
Well, then again, there are some other embarrassing pictures of you out there, Peggy, so I don't know if you can actually make that claim.
The helmet guy springs to mind.
Let's say, if you've ever known anyone that's worked for, like, a geek squad or something like that, they find all kinds of messed up stuff on computers that people bring in to have serviced.
Yeah, I think the moral to the story is if you're going to take your phone back to a shop, you put it back, hit that factory default settings, and then take the bloody SD card out of it. And when you buy a second-hand one, well, I don't know, if you're worried about what's going to be on there, we'll check it before you walk out of the shop, if you do in fact buy it at the shop. I just don't know that it's any surprise, Peggy, that people are finding this stuff, because we've all dealt with other people's computers before.
Oh, yes, we have. But most of the average public, when, you know, they buy something like this, they expect it to be brand new, you know. They don't expect other people's information to still be there.
I don't know. Actually, you know, more I think about this, I've got a really embarrassing story about something that actually happened at one of the companies I used to work for, and that was that on the laptop of one of the lawyers for the company, the lawyer's wife had actually slapped a child lockout device on the machine, because the lawyer actually could not get away from going to porn sites, and she wanted to make sure that he stayed away from them. And when one of the IT guys actually came to work on his machine, he couldn't actually get into it because there was this lockout device on it, and he ended up actually having to call the guy's wife to actually get the password to unlock the machine so he could work on it. And that's actually a lawyer in a company.
I love that story. I'm just saying that is just wonderful.
Yeah, that just about floors you, doesn't it? I mean, of all the people in a company you would think of, the lawyer? I mean, my God, a lawyer actually has a problem with being obsessed with pornography.
I mean, it can happen to anyone. You know, Pegwool, or, you know, anyone of, you know, Pegwool comes to mind.
Look, everyone knows that I own a private data center filled with amateur porn.
Oh, so you're the guy who actually runs xvideos.com.
How'd you know, damn you, who is Data?
You just actually told us.
Yeah, this show's already starting to go way downhill. And by start, I mean has been downhill for a while.
Well, the proper thing to do is if it's got kiddie porn on it, you call the cops. And anything else, you just wipe it and start over yourselves.
See, Azmuth always has to be the one who's reasonable.
And that's why we need him around.
And actually, I completely agree with Azmuth. Actually, there are some other things, Az, that are pretty extreme that I might actually call the cops about as well.
Like Pegwool snoodling Peter.
Oh, jeez, Pete, what's your next story?
Look, everyone knows I own a whole data set. Oh, Lord. Peter, what's your favorite day of the week?
I don't know, Tuesday.
Wrong answer. Friday.
Why?
Because now you can retire your Hannah Montana Linux and go with Rebecca Black Linux.
Ah, tell me more.
Now, if that was Claudia Black, I might go for that.
Basically, it's just a live CD, you know, themed with Rebecca Black, and it uses the Wayland display server.
I must admit, I don't know who Rebecca Black is, but last time I looked at Wayland, there was nothing more than a square bouncing on the screen. I take it it's come a little bit further lately. And for people who don't know, listening to this, Wayland is going to replace the X server, I understand it.
Also, reading more of this article, I found out that there's also Justin Bieber Linux. I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
What do you got against the Beeb?
He killed all the fish in my fish tank.
Munster, have you looked at Wayland at all?
No, I haven't.
I still think it's got a hell of a lot of development to go yet. I don't even know if it's in much testing, if you can even get it.
Yeah, I think it's only available as demos anyway.
Yeah, I'm using Debian Stable right now, so it'll probably take four or five years to get to it.
I'd say more like 10.
You can actually get it out of AUR, but I don't think I'd be trying it just yet. I might just set up a virtual machine and install Arch in that and try the Wayland server. I did upgrade to Systemd though the other day, and it seems to be running pretty well, although Fedora has had it since Fedora 15, I think.
Peter, if you actually go ahead and upgrade to Wayland, I'd love to see if you can check out, like, VNC and some other things under there and see if those actually work, because I'm kind of curious about that at this point.
Yeah, I don't think that will, Soundy. Like, that's one thing you're going to... Wayland doesn't have, and I think they're going to build it as modules on top, as the network transparency where you can, like, use SSH dash X and everything like that. But I think it's a long way from being mature enough to actually use on a day-to-day basis yet.
Yeah, and that's one of the concerns I have, actually. That was one of the things I was just setting up at work, was actually a way for... we actually have to have some offshore people actually be able to go ahead and connect remotely into some workstations and actually go ahead and do basically like the remote desktop connection type thing. So I was actually using combinations of VNC for some people and an actual X server for other people to actually connect in.
Well, the way I understand it, though, that you can run a virtual X server inside Wayland, so therefore you've got backwards compatibility with the X server. So does that mean you should be able to run everything now with inside that virtual server inside Wayland?
Yeah, I remember hearing something like that, and I actually kind of questioned that because, okay, so if you have applications that are written to run under Wayland, or you have ones that actually just restrict themselves to whatever APIs are available in Wayland, will they still actually run under X? And then you can actually run an X server under there and still run those applications and be able to connect to them. I was really, really fuzzy on that whole point.
Yeah, I think we need to get the J-Man to install it if he hasn't already and tell us what it's like.
Yeah, I kind of hope the J-Man can actually take a look at that, too.
So, what's our next topic?
I must debate. I've got one if you want.
Yeah, it's your turn, big boy.
This is sort of carrying on from back in the tit days with my astronomical theme. I don't know if you recall I talked about the Galaxy Zoo. And what the Galaxy Zoo was, there was the robotic telescopes of the Sloan Digital Sky Survey that went around imaging galaxies. And then all the pictures were put up on the internet, and then you, as a human being, got to go in and classify them. Now, it was pretty basic to start off with. You were just saying, you know, whether it looked like a cigar, whether it was a spiral galaxy, how many arms it had, whether it was going like clockwise or counterclockwise. Do you remember that? Well, even if you don't, this week, the one I was looking at is called planethunters.org. Now, if you did happen to listen to the Colonel Panic Ogcast, you would have heard us talking about the Kepler spacecraft and Kepler 22b, I think it is, the Earth-like planet they just found, or one of the many. Well, with planethunters.org, you get to go and have a look at all the Kepler data. Now, what happens is, what you're doing is looking for the sharp dips in the brightness of stars. That's what Kepler's doing. And when you look through all this data, that you start to see a regular pattern, and that's as the actual brightness of the star dips as a planet does a transit across the front of it. Now, it's easy enough for computers to pick out, like, big planets that are blocking out a fair bit of the sun's light, but it's the smaller Earth-like planets that the transit points get lost, you know, they get buried in the noise of the light curve, but us, with our eyes, can go through and we can quite easily pick these out. So if anyone wants to have a go at it, go over to planethunters.org. And it's pretty cool, you know, just looking at this data, because this Kepler is imaging 150,000 stars all at once. So there's a hell of a lot of data out there to go through. I'll just post the link in the forum for you.
That actually really looks pretty cool. The only thing I saw that was kind of weird was one of the screenshots I saw was actually done on a Mac.
You can do it on anything. It's all done in your browser. So, I mean, if you're sitting at the bus line, you could probably load it up in your Android phone and just pull up some of the data, go through, and, you know, you just circle where you think there's a transit.
Yeah, no, I was just kind of teasing Peter.
Have you ever tried the game? I just found this one yesterday. It's called Moonbase Alpha. It's developed by NASA.
No, I can't say that I have. Have you got a site for it?
Yeah, it's a pretty long link. I'll just post it in the IRC. Yeah, I found this one yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to try it out yet. Oh, and it's only available for Windows. There's no Linux client.
I have to give it a try under Wine, see what happens. I've had pretty good luck with Wine for the most part.
That's what I was just going to ask, if someone was going to try it out under Wine.
Yeah, but whenever I get a game, not that I'm a big gamer, but the first thing I always try, I give it a go in Wine. I really hate to have to fire up bloody Windows just to have a look at something.
See, I think the only thing I've ever run under Wine was actually like Microsoft Office applications, because the job that I really hated actually required that I actually use Microsoft Office garbage. So, but I would be curious to see if like Moonbase Alpha actually runs under Wine, because that actually kind of looks cool.
I'll get back to you on that, because I'll download it after the show and give it a try.
Yeah, I never had much luck with Wine. I mean, it's like all the games were sluggish, and I had to like reduce the resolutions just to keep the frame rates up. And, you know, I mean, the games worked, but they just weren't like, it just didn't seem like 100%.
I've actually come across situations where games have, and I'll give you for instance, and I've mentioned this before, that my RC helicopter simulator, which is called Clearview, that runs perfect under Wine, actually runs better under Wine than it does on under my Windows. So that's interesting. Sometimes I've tried that portal under Wine, and the graphics and everything, it ran nice. I just couldn't get any bloody sound under it.
Yeah, I got portal to run too on Wine, and it ran decent, but I had to reduce the resolutions down to like 1280. Instead of, you know, doing the full 1080p, I had to drop it down to 1280 by 1024 or something like that.
Yeah, right. I tried that Battlezone, And it said, on WineHQ, it said, I think it gave it a gold rating. As soon as I went to start at the menus, it was just come up with a black screen. So I couldn't get that to run at all.
This actually kind of goes back to a topic I've been kind of thinking about for just a little bit, and I'd love a little bit of input on it. I actually run a dual screen setup here, and I was starting to think earlier today that maybe I should go back to just one larger monitor instead of a set of two monitors, just so I could see if the frame rates in that would actually stay up and would actually work better.
I don't know that that would affect it, would it, Sandy? I don't know. The only instance of a dual monitors I run is I run, you know, a projector and my 24-inch monitor on my desktop. But I wouldn't have thought it would affect... Like, you're talking about playing a game on one monitor and displaying whatever on the other one.
Well, I'm just talking about in general. I mean, you can see right now I've got two 22-inch monitors that... I mean, they're matched and they're pretty good monitors and everything. They're actually NEC monitors. But I've noticed that in some instances that the frame rate seems to drop on one monitor versus the other monitor, even like watching videos or something like that, since I'm not a real big gamer. So I was almost thinking instead of doing two 21-inch monitors, go ahead and get one 32-inch monitor and go with that instead.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know. That's what we do a lot. We put a movie on the projector, although typically when that movie's on the projector, not doing anything on my desktop. But I've certainly never noticed any frame dropping or anything on the projector doing it that way. I'd be interested to hear what happens. Why not, I don't know, you think if you ran a game at extremely high resolution on one monitor and continued working on the other, that would give you an indication if you're going to get a better frame rate if you just get rid of one, wouldn't it? Although, mind you, depending on what work you're doing in the processor, might be working harder. Yeah, I don't know, Sandy. You're just going to have to try it. But I wouldn't have thought it'd make any difference.
I don't know at this point. And honestly, I was kind of thinking maybe one monitor, since you're only driving one through one video port, and you could dedicate all the memory in that to that one video port, as opposed to trying to split memory across two video ports and actually trying to do the refresh across two video ports. Maybe that might make a difference. I don't know. And looking at this, the Moonbase Alpha game, that actually just looks so cool that I was wondering if running that under Wine on one video card might actually make better sense than trying to run it on my dual head setup.
Must have been, you run dual monitors, don't you?
At the moment, I'm not. I'm just running one 22-inch monitor, the 1650 by 1050. And then once in a while, I take my computer downstairs and run it on the 48-inch screen, which is a 1080p.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be interested to see. I don't know enough about it, but I wouldn't have thought that you would see any drop in frame rate if you were playing a game on one monitor and you had a bloody Windows with, I don't know, maybe a browser or something on the other one, but I'm not sure. Just with Wine, though, Soundy, I have found that sometimes when you do an update, like I update Arch, and update everything, I have to revert back to a previous version of Wine because my simulator refuses to work. And I'm sure I've talked to Jay Lindsay about something he tried, and after an update, he couldn't run something in Wine that he used to either, and he had to revert back to a previous one. So that's something you've got to watch after an update. Check your Wine configuration, make sure it's still working, otherwise go back.
That could actually be definitely something to keep a track of. I'm glad you kind of mentioned that because I'm not that experienced with Wine overall. In fact, I would probably actually be looking at using Wine to run this. And instead, other than that, I've only used it to run Microsoft Office stuff. And even that I haven't done now for a couple of years. So, okay, that's actually a good point. Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, it's just going to look what I've got installed. Yeah, okay. The current one is 1.3.37-1, but I had to revert back to 1.3.33-1 to keep my simulator working. And I had problems with something else too, that on the desktop that wouldn't run, I had to revert back to the older version.
Are you actually running NVIDIA drivers or are you running ATI drivers on your machine?
On my laptop, I'm only running the Intel drivers. On my desktop, I ran the Nuvo for a while, actually, but there was something it wouldn't do. I can't remember what it was. And I got the NVIDIA drivers on the desk now. the Intel driver seemed to work all right in mine. And this is the one I run my flight simulator on the most. When I'm sitting out in the lounge room watching telly, I run it on the Intel.
Okay, yeah, my laptop would actually use the Intel drivers, but my desktop is actually NVIDIA. And I've been actually trying to stick with the Nouveau drivers, since those are actually open source drivers, as opposed to going to the proprietary NVIDIA drivers. So that kind of puts me in a tricky situation there.
Actually, I lie. I remember now I did my daughter's laptop and put the Nouveau drivers on it. And for some reason, I think it was either Myth or XBMC, because this is the one in her bedroom that is used, you know, just as her TV. And for some reason, XBMC or Myth TV didn't like the Nouveau drivers, so I had to install the NVIDIA ones.
Now you're making me wonder what I actually have installed in my XBMC box. That's actually an interesting question at this point.
Yeah, for life, I can't remember what it was. But it wasn't drawing the display proper, or the menus in XBMC didn't look right or something. I can't recall.
Yeah, a couple months ago, I bought a new video card. It's a Zotac GeForce GTX 550 Ti, and it has Linux right on the box. It's fully supported.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it on Kernel Panic last week that it's so hard now to find something that doesn't work in Linux. Remember back in the old days where you had to get on the internet and go through, I think there's a few sites that listed Linux hardware before you went to the shop to buy something? These days, you have to be bloody unlucky if you bring something home, plug it in, you can't get it working.
Yeah, and then, what I thought was neat that they actually put it on the box. So, I mean, they're prepared, you know, for phone support too.
Yeah, well, that's pretty rare, isn't it?
This is the year of Linux on the desktop, or at least so I'm told.
I know where my vote's going.
Yeah, me too, Peggy. You're gone. Yeah, that's something you don't see very often, Monster B, is it? In fact, besides on a few, thumb drives, is about the only time I've ever seen it.
Yeah, same here.
Has anyone tried Catalyst ATI? I've tried to run that, but I've just never had any luck. It's always been a bloody problem.
I have an ATI card right now, but I'm just using the free drivers. They work perfectly well.
Yeah, I don't think I ever actually used the non-free ATI drivers.
Well, I use the Catalyst drivers because I have the one of the Adiradian graphics cards in my desktop, which is, you know, if I'm going to play a game, it's on that machine typically. And what are they called? The Radeon drivers are the free ones, aren't they? Is that what they're called? I can't remember. But I never had any luck with them trying to play games. The Catalyst drivers are nothing but trouble. Especially every time you do an upgrade, you had to rebuild the bloody kernel module, and it was just a pain in the ass. I would have thought it would have got better now that AMD own them, and they're supposed to be more open, and didn't they release the documents to the public ages and ages ago?
Yeah, the Catalyst drivers have always been bad. Even in Windows, they suck pretty bad.
So I was just looking here, and it looks like my XBMC box actually is using the proprietary NVIDIA driver.
Freedom hater.
Yeah, man, if it works, it works, you know?
I think that may have actually been a requirement, because I wouldn't have actually installed that unless there was some other requirement for it, probably for the HDMI support or something like that.
This Return to Moonbase Alpha, is it only available on Steam?
Oh, that's a good question. That's where I downloaded it from. Let me see on the website. Click on download. Yep, it just goes, it says get it now on Steam. Well, that's not good.
No, that's a pain, actually. I'm not prepared to install Steam, that's for sure.
Wasn't there a Linux version of Steam that actually we could possibly download and run this on then?
There's an Android version.
No, there's not. It's only a client where you can... you can't play games and stuff on the Android. All it is a chat thing, I think, and you could purchase games, but you can't actually play the games.
Yeah, on the Android one, but I thought there was actually... I thought G. Lindsay or somebody was actually talking about a Linux Steam emulation.
Every so often, a website pops up and says that Steam is coming to Linux because somewhere in the Steam documents, the word Linux is written, and then all of a sudden it breaks out all over the net that Steam is coming to Linux. But from my understanding, that they're never, ever going to port Steam over to Linux.
Well, it doesn't help that they're cagey about it either. They kind of keep going... Well, we're not necessarily not going to.
Then every time one of these stories pops up, Gabe Newell slaps an intern.
Is that someone we're all supposed to know?
That's the head person of Valve.
Head person.
If you go back on the net and do a search for Steam coming to Linux, there's heaps of stories, you know, on Linux Journal and that, that go back years.
Well, this is kind of disappointing because I would just really like to run this Moonbase Alpha. That actually just looks so cool.
I'm looking around the internet, seeing if there's a direct link to download it.
Have you ever looked at that Dejura?
Yeah, I have an account.
That's what I was actually referring to before, Peter, when I said there was a Steam client that could actually run on Linux.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, Dejura, it's got nothing to do with Steam, is it? It's just a game delivery, content delivery system like Steam, but they're totally different, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, totally different companies. I mean, Steam has everything. I mean, this other, what is it called again? Desura?
Yeah, something like that. D-E-S-U-R-A, isn't it? Dejura or something.
Yeah, they have quite a few like indie games and stuff like that, but they don't have any like big AAA games on there yet. I mean, it's hard to tell if they're going to cut any deals and get any big games on there. I mean, it works good. I mean, I like Steam a lot better, but I mean, this Dejura is pretty new, so I mean, maybe in a couple of years it'd be something I would enjoy more.
Battlefield 2142, Unreal Tournament, Half-Life 2, Crysis, they're all pretty old games, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a few years old. Well, especially like Half-Life 2. I think it was released in 2004.
But it's still awesome.
Yeah, I'd love to play it. I'm playing Episode 1 right now.
Oh, of Half-Life?
Yeah, Half-Life 2, Episode 1.
Okay, yeah. I played Half-Life, but I looked at Half-Life 2 for a little bit. I played a bit of it. It was pretty good.
Do you think we'll ever see Half-Life 3?
I think we're going to see probably Half-Life 2, Episode 3, probably this year.
All right, I am holding you to that one.
That's just my guess, but I think it's going to happen. Yeah, I just got a copy last Thursday of Duke Nukem Forever, so I'll give you guys a review next time.
Yeah, I'll be interested. Everyone says it's absolute rubbish.
I played the beta, it was pretty bad, but at one point I was able to draw a penis on a dry erase board.
Well, that's always important in a game.
And I kicked a urinal until it broke.
330 living out his bar bathroom fantasies.
Dude, I destroy bathrooms like I'm a rock star.
Monster B, here's a good game for you on Dejura, Depth Hunter. Depth Hunter offers 25 exciting missions in which players will hunt different fish species and face the difficulties holding your breath underwater while spearfishing.
Boy, that sounds great.
Do I know? It's only $14.
$14? I'll take three.
Well, guess how much I paid for Duke Nukem Forever?
$9.99.
Well, I got it for free. My dad bought it for $4.99. He bought us both a copy.
That's fair, income. And how many millions and millions of dollars and years did they spend developing that?
Well, it's been, what, 25 years since Duke Nukem 3D came out?
Oh, no. That's 330. God, I'm not that old.
It was the late 90s.
Because it's been in development since like a year or two after Duke Nukem 3D came out.
I think it took them like 12 years or something like that.
Was it really being developed? I thought it was just like another company took it over like a couple years ago.
I heard that there was a lot of mismanagement like on the business side of it.
All right. You got anything else, Peter, or should we move on to Sound Chaser?
Yeah.
What do you got for a Sound Chaser?
Well, the first story is actually kind of a really strange one. Did anybody catch a story about the Department of Homeland Security actually intercepting an English couple and basically interrogating them for numerous hours because of tweets they had sent saying that they were going to trash America and because they were going to go and, I guess it was dig up, Marilyn Monroe, and basically what they were saying was they were going to party really hard when they came to America on vacation, and their tweets just got totally misconstrued by the Department of Homeland Security. So they interrogated them for about 5 hours, I think it was, and then went ahead and sent them back to England because of their tweets.
Finally, the Department of Homeland off before they went back home.
What was that, 338? Didn't hear that at all. And we kind of broke up there pretty bad.
I was just making fun of the department.
I would actually say they should be made fun of at this point because pretty much, I mean, like the quote about Marilyn digging up Marilyn Monroe was actually a reference to an episode of Family Guy, which is basically a show from the U.S. and just totally misreading and misinterpreting and not understanding popular culture is the sign of a department or a part of our government that is just totally stupid and moronic, in my opinion.
Well, as someone that has been detained by DHS twice, they're not exactly big on humor.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
But I think that's actually the point, is that, I mean, okay, I grant you that they shouldn't be too loose with the humorous stuff, but boy, they should actually understand our own culture.
Now, which part doesn't surprise you, Az? The fact that I've been detained twice, or the fact that they don't like humor?
That you've been detained twice, and I'm really surprised they let you go.
Yeah, I am too, actually. They don't like people coming back from Canada without passports.
Now, Pegwell, I hate to say it, but you kind of brought that on yourself, given that you were traveling through Detroit at the time.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
Which part, traveling through Detroit or being detained?
The whole trip was pretty fun, but driving through Detroit, if you're not from Detroit, is frightening. Because the speed limit says 50. Everyone goes 90.
Well, given that that's the Motor City, why doesn't that surprise me?
Even the homeless people are in a hurry.
Again, given the Motor City, why doesn't that surprise me?
Well, anyway, since this is your story and not my time to talk about when I was detained, why don't you continue that?
There wasn't a whole lot to continue. I mean, it just seemed to me to be totally ironic and basically totally moronic that that our own government is actually too stupid to realize when other people are making references to our own culture.
I think we figured it out. The Department of Homeland Security is run by hipsters. They're ironically stupid about culture.
Doesn't that actually, what's interesting to me about that is, isn't our whole government that way? I mean, seriously? Can you see anybody in our government actually understanding our own culture?
Oh, they all do dress funny, and they all do have the same haircut, so they very well may be some type of freaky mutant hipster.
A hipster?
All right, if any of us disappear, we know what happened. We'll be shipped off to Area 52, you know, because Area 51 is too popular.
Just be glad it's not Area 69.
Hello.
We'll be bulldozed all day.
And they'll finish with a Zen waterfall.
Just be glad it's not in a Toyota Camry.
Next up, 330, what do you got for us?
Thanks, 330. That was the best ever story you've ever had.
Did you wear a condom when you did that, 330?
Does 330 know what a condom is?
No, I went raw dog. I was in the back of a 93 Camry, and shit happens in the back of a 93 Camry.
You know, speaking of the shit that happens in a 93 Camry, I got footage of it in this data center.
<Hi-yo>. Yeah, okay, so back to the story I brought. The NSA has created something that is actually interesting for once. They now have an ultra-secure version of Android called SE Android.
Yeah, wasn't that the first approved actual operating system for cell phones? It's actually been approved by the NSA. Even I think Apple doesn't get their approval at this point.
Yeah, Apple is still disapproved as far as I know, and BlackBerry made the cut, but only just. But what this security enhanced Android appears to be is Android with SE Linux in the pseudo Linux kernel that Android runs.
So this doesn't run on all Android phones, does it? It says here it's currently only intended for emulators in the Nexus S.
That's still something. That's
oh shit! It gets worse. You can only compile it on Fedora. My God.
And how is that a problem? I mean, isn't that a feature? I figured everyone was running Fedora at this point.
Yeah. Well, I suppose if you can compile it on Fedora, you should be able to compile it on anything. It just says that it's only been tested on Fedora.
Well, I don't think Fedora is the only operating system that actually implements SE Linux. And B, I would actually, if it was tied to Fedora specifically, I would actually count that as a negative.
Monster.
Yeah,
terrorist monster. Maybe you need to be deported with those English people.
That's where Stoke went.
Hey, I'm going to Ireland, so, you know, I might actually have a good time over there with my kinfolk.
Your kinfolk are all Pikeys.
My kinfolk are Irish, dude.
Dude, living in a caravan just outside of Ireland doesn't make you Irish. It makes you a Pikey. They like dogs and caravans and fighting. And SE Android.
Actually, I can prove that my ancestry actually goes long back into Ireland and is actually quite a well-renowned family.
If you kids don't shut up, I'm going to turn this show around.
Just try it, Peggy.
So yeah, SE Android. As a person who knows very little about Android purposely, I don't know what any of this crap means on the wiki page. I was hoping that some individual who was into Android could make this not gibberish.
Well, that's some good information you're sharing.
I'll be the first to admit that while I'm kind of interested in Android stuff, as I've been working to distance myself from Google, and getting a chance to look into SE Android has actually been probably one of the furthest things from my thoughts at this point.
I mean, personally, they could security enhance cream corn, and I would be excited. But I have no idea what this thing is.
Well, you know, I guess one of the things that this comes down to for me is also that this is one of the infamous three-letter government agencies, and how much do we trust these government agencies lately? I mean, granted, the NSA does have high standards, but is that a good thing or a bad thing for us as the general public?
Well, it is open source. I mean, I would figure that, like most things, the large community of hackers are smarter than the goons the government hires, but that may not always be the case. I mean, how long have we all been using SE Linux without any major freedom tramplings, as far as we're aware?
Well, I would actually question how many people or how many companies are actually using SE Linux at this point. I know there's a big emphasis on it in terms of the NSA and the government, but outside of that, the companies I've worked for have pretty much said, we aren't touching SE Linux right now because it's basically too big of a change to actually undertake in our companies and with our applications and with the compatibility requirements for everything else.
I've heard that it's fairly widespread in usage for people using RHEL and its derivatives, but it's a really good idea to use. It keeps really crufty stuff from running on your system, which your environment is never a bad idea.
Yeah, I agree that it's a really good idea to use it. In fact, every Linux administrator that has actually been running RHEL has actually agreed that it's a really good idea. Unfortunately, the reality of fitting into a business environment has basically precluded it from actually being used, and that includes all of the last three jobs I've had, which have all been implementations from 700 servers all the way up to 1,200, 1,500 servers that I'm dealing with.
I don't know anything about that. I really can't speak to it. I just recently got my very first tech job, so there's that.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that you could actually speak to that. I was just pointing out that there may be some adoption of it out there, but it may not be as widespread as you're being led to believe at this point. Then again, it may be more widespread than I've been led to believe by my experience.
I thought you were trying to put me on the spot. I thought this was going to go to fisticuffs. Frankly, now I'm kind of depressed.
Oh, heavens no. I don't ever intend to put anybody on the spot here. I speak from my experience, but I don't expect anybody to actually try to match my experience.
That's ridiculous. This is a podcast. You're supposed to treat the other people on it like crap and make them feel stupid the whole time. Did you not get the memo?
The memo?
Oh, we talk about memo. That would be a whole different subject.
Yeah, other things that are depressing and utter failures.
Hey, before we go into the vote kicks, 3:30, how was FUDCon?
FUDCon was awesome. Generally, it was awesome, and specifically for me, it was awesome. A lot of really, really interesting stuff came to light. The thing that stuck out to me most is that for Fedora 17, which has been codenamed the Beefy Miracle, by one of the greatest strokes of luck ever. One of the primary architectures for that release and on so into the future is going to be ARM, which is becoming very big in computing in the third world, as well as in some server environments, because the cost in power, the power consumption to the output of the serving platform is like greatly reduced. And in a terrible economy like this, people are more interested in saving money than crunching numbers faster. And that all became extremely interesting to me when I won a Raspberry Pi.
Dude, I hope you're going to try running XBMC on that Raspberry Pi when you get it.
Oh, yeah. It'll be running XBMC, and I plan to eventually try to hack together a very Sigflup-inspired tablet out of it.
Well, sorry, excuse my ignorance, but I actually thought you meant you won a Pi. What the hell is a... What sort of Pi was it? What is it?
There is a $35 computer that runs on a... and it's an ARM processor called the Raspberry Pi. It was developed in Europe because a bunch of business people couldn't figure out why all of the people graduating with computer science degrees didn't have a fundamental understanding of computer science. So they created this device to try to get, they're targeting high school kids, but they want to turn these kids into hackers. You know, like we all are, you know, were, are, am, will be, you know, people that are genuinely interested in the technology and are wanting to be involved in it more than just pointing and clicking a couple of things.
Peter, if you go to, I think it's raspberrypi.com or raspberrypi.org or something like that, you can actually go ahead and see what the computer is going to be. Actually, that's not the right address. Hang on a second, I'll get the right one.
I'm looking at Raspberry Pi Mini USB PC. It's, I don't know, it's about the size of a wallet, I'd say, with a few ports, LAN and USB, and it's a...
Yeah, that's it. It's actually a fantastic device. I sat in a couple of talks to hear about this thing, and the processing unit is actually a giant GPU, a graphics processing unit, with a little bitty tiny ARM processor in the corner of it. So you've got your, it's like a 700 megahertz ARM processor that will chew through stuff, and you can actually take code, and they called it throwing it over the wall, but you can take large chunks of raw crap that needs computed and throw it at the GPU, and it'll just crunch the living bejesus out of these numbers. The only problem is that GPU and its instruction sets are proprietary. Everything up to that is open source, even the bit where you throw it over the wall. And by it being closed source and things like that, Raspberry Pi has gone and been able to license all of the codecs you could ever need, and so that you can run this computer and do these really, really graphic intensive, really cool multimedia things. It'll do 1080p video over HDMI, like just really fantastic stuff, without having to worry, so that these educators don't have to worry about licensing and things like that.
And one of the things I found earlier was when I was looking at the Rebecca Black Linux distro, there was an article on that same website about there already being a XBMC distro that it will actually run on the Raspberry Pi. So if I hadn't bought my Acer machine that I've been messing around with, I might have actually bought a Raspberry Pi to actually just run XBMC on.
So there's two variations of this, I take it.
There's
a and a B.
Cheap one. Yeah, the cheap one is $25, and the more expensive one is $35.
And is the only difference the extra 128 mega RAM, or?
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Actually, I think the $35 one actually has an Ethernet interface as well. That's actually the probably the bigger splitting point, is actually having that Ethernet interface, which the $25 one doesn't have.
I mean, it's a cool little device. It's like those gum sticks, and I don't know, we've talked about these sort of things over the years, but I just wouldn't know what to do with the bloody thing. A little home automation thing to run how you want is about the only thing I could ever think of.
Now, you can do a lot of things with this. This could be your media front end for, you know, Myth TV or something. I assume Myth TV has packages that would compile on it. But you could, it could be your desktop computer for, you know, 90% of the population. And in places where, you know, they either have very limited access to computers or have no access, this could be a really cool project. Because the whole thing's powered by a USB cord. So any mini USB thing for like your phone or something will power this whole computer.
You know, I'm thinking that I could actually have hung that off of one of the USB ports on my RAID controller. And this thing might actually be able to actually handle my whole RAID controller. So if that was the case, then I could actually have XBMC and everything just hanging off a single RAID box and actually make it into a combo into a combo file server and XBMC front end, which I think is really, really cool when you think about it. I mean, it's basically a little like 1-inch cube type thing to actually control my whole media center.
Yeah, and it's also a more than capable Arduino competitor. You know, except for, unlike Arduino, this is a real computer. I mean, it's, you're going to be able to run regular operating. I mean, you'll be able to put Fedora on it.
Well, not even that, but I mean, think about this. If you've got Linux from scratch out there, you could actually build custom operating systems, custom versions of Linux to actually run on this thing and actually use it as a custom controller for any number of devices that you want. And that, to me, is actually fabulously exciting. I mean, I can't wait to see what someone like Sigflup is going to do with something like this, given what she's already done with things that are like Arduino-type systems and that.
Yeah, the possibilities for this are very, very close to limitless. And with the brilliant people that we know, this thing could become extremely interesting.
Yeah, so you boot up SD card, but then you can plug in a USB hard drive into it and the sky's the limit, really, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and once you boot off that SD card, you can just pull it out. It's never going to bother with that again. So this could become that's essentially, in a way, a security feature. Yeah, if you had like the possibilities are so limitless, I can't come up with, like, maybe a screen that showed advertisements and you're pulling them over a network, you know, knowing that no one's going to be able to just go in and reboot it, that they, you know, that it has to stay where it's at. Yeah, you get a level of certainty that no one's just going and turning off your ad thing and you're paying for something that you're not getting.
Yeah, and they're going to sell SD cards with pre-installed Fedora, Debian, and Arch systems. How cool is that?
Well, it's more cooler than that. I mean, I actually read an article on the Register a couple months ago about a guy who actually went ahead and reset up his whole internet server provider service based on Arduino cards. I can't even imagine what this guy could do with something like this. I mean, it looks like he could expand his service tenfold just based on having a couple of simple little cards. And on top of it, he actually got his service down to the point where he could actually run it off of solar power and not have to actually rely on anything on the power grid. So he actually was like 10 times or 20 times ahead of anybody else as far as being an internet service provider.
Damn, I should do that with my database.
Yeah, you could really use this for your database of things that you claim to have a database of.
I was thinking for your whole data center, Peggy.
Or that's what I meant. You know, speaking of the things that I claim to have uses for a data center for, I have a list so large, it's in a data center, right?
Yeah.
That was so funny, I forgot to laugh.
Look, not every joke I tell can be awesome and hilarious.
Ba-dum-boom.
Monster B Vakic now?
Yeah, I was waiting for Peggy's punchline. I thought he got cut off.
He's about to get the punchline.
But that was the punchline, wasn't it?
Yeah, sad to say.
All right, you guys ready for the vote kicks?
I guess.
Okay,
I'm ready.
Az, you're up first if you're still there. You got one vote to cast.
Well, if I only got one, 330 gets it.
Bam. 330, you got one vote to cast too. Who's it going to be?
I am spending my one solitary hard-fought vote for Pegwell.
Good choice. Good choice. Peggy, you got three to cast.
You know what? Just because I've never been mean to Azimuth doesn't mean I'm going to start now. Sin Chaser, all three votes go to you, buddy.
Ooh, that is dirty.
Ouch.
Well, we know who the new Zoke is.
Sin Chaser, you got one vote to cast.
Man, only one? Well, I hate to say it, but it's retaliation time, Peggy. You got it.
Nice. Peter, you got two votes to cast.
What's the score so far?
In the lead is Sin Chaser with three and Peggy with two. 330 only has one.
I must admit, I was going to vote for 330 just because I could, but that data center did it for me, so I'm giving them all to the Peg Man.
Nice.
Peg Man.
Let's see, I got three to cast. I could throw them all at 330 and tie it up. 330 and Peggy, and they would have to battle it off in some kind of fight.
Or could just kick them both.
Did you get 330's vote already?
Yeah, he voted for me. Did.
Yeah, that's right. We should add that in the rules. If there's a tie, they both go. Pegwall and 330, say your goodbyes now.
You know, this show is bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. Absolute and total bullshit.
Well, that felt good.
Just like the old days.
Well, this show was a disaster. I hope everybody enjoyed it.
I'm just amazed that I was not the first person to vote it off. I can't believe that.
It was close.
That it was.
Could I vote off a fellow Colonel Panic Ogcast to see me?
Oh, when we were playing that game and I said I would slaughter Gorkon, I was just kidding. Gorkon's a good guy.
Well, hell, I figured most of the ones that we made up for that were actually mostly a joke anyway.
Yeah, it's all a joke. I hope nobody took offense to it.
You mean we really don't get to shoot anybody?
Well, I think that's kind of why I went to the Distros one anyway, because I didn't want to actually offend anybody, because that would actually just be kind of bad. But I kind of wanted to wait, you know, hold back a little bit until we got into a few more episodes to find out if anybody actually got offended by this stuff.
Oh, that's such a wish answer. I want to move my vote. Can we change our vote?
Yeah, let's change our vote.
Too late now. Save it for next time.
Righto, fellas. I'll have to love yous and leave yous, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm going to. Well, it was fun, guys. I'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, see you, Bill. See ya, Soundy and Peggy 330 if you're still there.
Later, guys.
Good night.
Night-night.
Good night. Good night, all.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.